know, it says some, you know, have a psalm, a hymn, a spiritual song. I'm going with a psalm this morning, a familiar psalm, Psalm 40. So if you want to turn to Psalm 40, maybe it's, in some ways, it's probably, some could say it's on the same lines. There's going to be, there's probably some, Joseph probably could have put himself in this psalm at times. So let's start in verse 1. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. He brought me out of the pit of destruction, out of the miry clay, and he set my feet upon a rock, making my footsteps firm. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and trust in the Lord. How blessed is the man who has made the Lord his trust and is not turned to the proud, nor to those who lapse into falsehood. Many, O Lord, my God, are the wonders which you have done, and your thoughts toward us, there is none to compare with you. If I would declare and speak of them, they would be too numerous to count. Sacrifice and meal offering you have not desired. My ears you have opened. Burnt offering and sin offering you have not required. Then I said, behold, I come. In the scroll of the book it is written of me. I delight to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart. I have proclaimed glad tidings of righteousness in the great congregation. Behold, I will not restrain my lips, O Lord, you know. I have not hidden your righteousness within my heart. I have spoken of your faithfulness and your salvation. I have not concealed your loving kindness and your truth from the great congregation. You, O Lord, will not withhold your compassion from me. Your loving kindness and your truth will continually preserve me. For evils beyond number have surrounded me. My iniquities have overtaken me. They are more numerous than the hairs of my head, and my heart has failed me. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. Make haste, O Lord, to help me. Let those be ashamed and humiliated together who seek my life to destroy it. Let those be turned back and dishonored who delight in my hurt. Let those be appalled because of their name who say to me, aha, aha. Let all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. And let those who love your salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified. Since I am afflicted and needy, let the Lord be mindful of me. You are my help and my deliverer. Do not delay, O my God. I'm just going to go back through the psalm. This morning I was got up and I was having a little quiet time, and I've actually found lately, I might be alone in this, maybe there'll be others that can sympathize. So I spend some time with the Lord. I try and do that in the morning before I get going on my day. Lately, I've found it's a real battle. It's like the battle. I sit down and it's a spiritual battle. It's just for me, that's the battle begins right then. Lately, I just find anxious thoughts, so many things. I remember saying this to my father-in-law one time, because I've found this over the years. I try and spend time in the Word, and so many thoughts will run through my mind. Every thought of the day that I need to get done, or what, every distraction. And I remember we were just talking about this, and it was a blessing. He really encouraged me, and he was just like, absolutely, it's real. You know, it's a good reminder. I should have seen it, known it. But, you know, just to know that the enemy is there to distract us and try and get our minds off of the Word. Or prayer, or whatever it is, if we're trying to have some prayer time, or we're trying to get into the Word, to know that, like, that's the last thing the enemy wants, is for us to get into the Word, have some time of prayer. And so I was in the battle this morning, and the anxious thoughts, or whatever, were trying to come. And I was just trying to pray, and I was just, there's been probably a theme in my mind lately, and I've probably talked about this many times before, but I was just trying to remind myself of the good things that God has done in my life. And that's where I came to this psalm. I was just thinking about how God has brought a salvation in my life. I was thinking back to the way that my life was before I knew the Lord, and so that I could remind myself of the good things that God had done. And I was reminded of this psalm, and I was encouraged as I read a number of these things. And what was interesting when I was thinking of verse 2, I've been reading this children's version of Pilgrim's Progress with my kids. And I've been reading these other allegories for like the last probably, I don't know, 8 months or a year. We've been reading like three different allegories, series of books. We've been full in, but I've really enjoyed it. And it was so funny to me because the book I'm reading to my kids now is fully, there's pictures on every page. So I have this picture of little Christian, this little pilgrim. And it's, last night we read about the castle of despair. And so I get into this. He brought me out of the pit of destruction, or it can be translated, the pit of despair is another way of reading this. Out of the muck and mire, or out of the miry clay. And when I think of my life before Christ, that's where I would put myself. I grew up in a Christian home. I went to a Christian school. I went to a Bible school. And yet I was, up until the age of 22, I believe, I was enslaved to sin. And it is like it's a despairing place to be, and you're stuck. And yet, here the psalmist, it's David. We don't really know necessarily where he was at, but in verse 1, he says, I waited intently for the Lord, and he inclined to me, and he heard my cry. And I could say it was interesting as I, especially in the year, maybe year and a half leading up to the point where I gave my life to the Lord in a real way, that was, especially the Lord was drawing me, but I was more and more feeling just the condemnation of, and the hell really, of being in a place of doing the things I knew were wrong, but I was enslaved. I was stuck in this pit of mire and muck, and it was a despairing place to be. It was destruction. It was hell. It was, you're separated from God. And yet God in his mercy reached down. And this is what I was reminding myself this morning, of just reminding myself of how good he is and all that he's done. When he reaches down and he pulls you out of that place and he sets your feet upon a rock and he puts a song in your mouth, a song of praise to our God. And it says, many will see and will trust in the Lord. Many will see and fear and trust in the Lord. And I've often probably shared this before, but like I think back and I think of certain things in my life that were clear sin. But what I had an experience shortly after coming to the Lord, which I can reflect on even now and show me, man, the depth of the person that I was before knowing the Lord, I couldn't even see it. But shortly after coming to the Lord, I got put on a job with someone that had started working for my company the same time I did. This was now 20 years ago. We started working together. We got put on a job about probably 2 to 3 years into working at the company we work for. And it was interesting to me. Right before we got put on this job, I came to the Lord. And so we were working together. There was a big team of us, but we were leading this team together. And so she started to share with me her impressions of me when we first started together. And she said to me, and forgive me if I've shared this with you before, but just as an example of just, you don't realize how deep it can run. But she said to me, she said, Tim, when we started, I looked at you and you were somebody I thought, I will never be able to talk to that person. They are so proud. And I was just, it was like, you're just sitting there listening like, what? But to be told, I looked at you, just seeing you, and I don't even remember necessarily talking to her, but she would have seen me at training and all these different times we would have been together. And she just said, there is one proud person, so proud I will never talk to that person. But what happened between that point, then we were working in different offices, and then we got put back together to work on this job together. And we were working together probably like 4 months out of the year. And what happened in the interim was that Jesus Christ pulled me out of a miry pit and he put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. And through that, she came to know the Lord, which is, even as I sit here, a miracle. To see that she could see such a dramatic change in somebody that she had seen, didn't see for a season, and then saw me again after Jesus Christ took a hold of my life. I look back and think, man, Lord, let it be still true today that somebody could see my life and say, I need to have what you have. And God orchestrated it. I remember just how God was working in that time. He orchestrated it. One day we had to work overtime and we agreed, the two of us agreed, okay, we'll come in on a Saturday, just the two of us, and we'll work together. So the whole team wasn't there. And lo and behold, that day started with, I think, an hour or 2 hour Bible study. We were at the client's site. It was this big public company. We're tucked away in this little room and God just orchestrated it. We got into the word and I was able to share what God has done in my life. Anyway, it's just a testimony of how God is able to transform a life. And I'm so thankful when I think about that this morning. And it's good to remember what God has done in your life. It's good to remember where God brought you from, because truthfully, for me this morning, that's what I needed. I needed to be reminded, Lord, I need to just remind myself of all you've done, because I don't want to lose sight of that. I've probably said this oftentimes too. I think of my children and raising my children. And it's so easy to slide into religiosity or a pattern. So before we go to bed, we read the Bible, and right now they're really liking the Pilgrim's Progress book. So it's like, Dad, let's get through the Bible and let's get to the Pilgrim's Progress. And it's easy for me because, frankly, I like the Pilgrim's Progress book too. So it's easy to do that. And I think, you know, I don't want it. What I want is I want my children not to grow up seeing a dad who's very structured and we always did the Bible then before bed. And if I was up early, maybe I'd see him. I've always thought, you know, what I want them to see is a man who loves Jesus and that it is so evident in his life. And yes, he did these things, but I think of the passage, it says in the Old Testament, it talks about, you know, when you get up and when you, he talks about, you know, sharing these things with your children. But for all of us, I challenge you with, if you have children, then it can be a challenge. If you don't, but whether you're younger, you don't have kids yet, that's fine. But it's just, you know, that people would see that the challenge is, do people see us and say, there is something different about that person? And when they dig into it and they understand what it is, it's because we love Jesus with all of our heart. And we've come to know him and he is our life. He's our all. And we could say that there's something so dramatically different. And that is ultimately, this is something else I've heard my father-in-law share that is so stuck with me. But I heard him share a sermon and it was just that. It was, is it attractive? Is our walk with the Lord attractive to our children? Or if you don't have children, does somebody see you and say, I want, that is actually how I came to the Lord. I can say, share that was because it was Jason and I lived together at university. Neither of us were serving the Lord. Then he came to the Lord and I didn't. I went the other direction. I've shared this often, but I still dramatically remember the night that I made the decision to surrender my life to the Lord. And it was absolutely nothing that I remember something sharing, but it was seeing the same way I share of how somebody came to the Lord through what they saw in my life is exactly the same. I remember seeing Darren and Jason, Jason and I were incredibly close friends and Darren would be around because they were close. And I remember, actually, I could say the same way that somebody could see pride in me, that's what I saw in Darren. I saw somebody that was that way before he came to the Lord. I remember that. And then all of a sudden, separation, because I wasn't serving the Lord and they were. And then coming finally, after a year and a half of Jason occasionally asking me, would you come to Bible study with me? I remember coming one night, and it is exactly, I just remember sitting across the room, watching the two of them singing and playing guitar and thinking, whatever it is they have now, I definitely do not have that. I need to have what they have. I need to have what they have. It wasn't something somebody shared, but it was seeing God make people a new creation in Christ. And that is what drew me like a bug to a light. It was like, I have to have what they have. So it's good to be reminded of these things, to be challenged again and say, Lord, I don't want to lose that. I want to be in that place, Lord, where it's still that God is still working, still changing, but we also still have that hunger, that longing. So we see it. I'm going to continue on. There's so many things. It's just what it caught me in these first three verses. How blessed is the man in verse 4, whom has made the Lord his trust and not turned to the proud nor to those who lapse into falsehood. who has a different translation, and what are other things that it says in that end part? Those who lapse into falsehood. Does anybody have a different translation? How does it read? Such as turn aside to lies. Does anybody have something different than that? What is it? Somebody have NLT? It's verse 4. I remember reading a few, but I liked whatever translation Craig has there. Such as turn aside to lies. This is an incredible warning. We can have this transformative experience in our life where we come to know Christ, we're born again. But the danger, it says, how blessed is the man if we take, it says, who trusts in the Lord, who has not turned to the proud and has not turned to those who lapse into lies. Sorry? Turn aside to lies. Thank you. So how blessed is the man who does not turn aside to lies. There are many, I think, at the same way we can look at the testimonies of what God has done, we can also take warning from the testimonies we see who of those who maybe once had a fervent walk with the Lord, but then drifted to lies and allowed the enemy to draw them away in different ways, whatever it was. As I read this book last night, I think it was that we were reading, Pilgrim ran into, or Christian ran into, turn back. He ran into Demas last night. There's another one. Ran into Demas, who was offering them riches. But you know that temptation is very real. You know, the verse comes, you can't serve God and money. Well, I'm not serving money. The lies that the enemy will bring to try and deceive us. We have to be on guard. We have to guard our hearts that we don't lapse into lies or turn aside to lies. But we remain fervent in our walk from the Lord, rock with the Lord. Many, O Lord, my God, are the wonders which you have done and your thoughts toward us. There is none to compare with you. If I were to declare and speak of them, they would be too numerous to count. In Psalm 139, it says, this was a verse that struck me so much. Someone shared this with me. How precious are your thoughts to me, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would outnumber the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. I remember early in my walk with the Lord, I was struggling and someone shared that with me. And just to know how much God cares for me and the thought that his thoughts toward me outnumber the grains of sand was just mind blowing. It was so encouraging to me. It is true. So as we think of this, we think of how God loves us so much. And then there's revelation we get to in 6 and 7, which Jesus quotes in the New Testament, it quotes about Jesus in Hebrews, sacrifice and meal offering you have not desired, my ear you have opened, burnt offering and sin offering you have not required. There's different ways probably you can understand this, because this verse, my ear you have opened, can be translated different ways, but I read a number of different versions, and some of the really simple ones basically said, you've helped me to basically see that it isn't about sacrifice and burnt offering, but it comes to the latter. It says, behold, I come in the scroll of the book. It is written of me. I delight to do your will. Oh my God, your law is within my heart. To come to this revelation that it isn't about how much we're going to sacrifice. This very common thought. The one allegory we read recently, they were seeking to know God's will for their life, and they were on this journey to find God's will for their life, and all of the things that so often people can think of when they think of surrendering their life were coming out. Oh, God's going to send me off to Africa, or like some crazy sacrifice, of just insane sacrifice. But really, just to be in a place where realizing, you know what, Lord, I just want to be somebody that delights to do your will, and that's what you're requiring of me. Somebody that in my daily life would just say, Lord, whatever your will is, Lord, your will be done, not mine, and be willing to surrender our will. And that's the type of person that God is looking for, a willingness to just say, Lord, whatever it is you have, and to walk that way each day, whether we're at school, whether at job, whether we're at home with the kids, whatever it is, to be able to say, Lord, continue to shape me and help me to walk in your will. Now this one, I have proclaimed the glad tidings of righteousness in the great congregation. Behold, I will not restrain my lips, O Lord, you know. I have not hidden your righteousness within my heart. I have spoken of your faithfulness and your salvation. I have not concealed your loving kindness and your truth from the great congregation. So my challenge here when I read this, you can look at this many ways. My challenge is to say, Lord, in some ways, I think, Lord, just grant me boldness. I mean, he's talking about seeing it in the great congregation. If I were honest, for me, this is the easiest setting. To sit here and share of the good things that God's done. But I want it to be, Lord, when I'm at home, do my kids hear me sharing with them of the great things that God has done? When I'm at work, do people know that I'm a Christian? Am I ashamed of the gospel in any way? And that's the challenge for me. Lord, I don't want to be ashamed. No matter where I am, if I'm in the great congregation with I'm with brothers and sisters, praise God. You know, I want to share of what God has done, but I find that almost easier. I'm challenged as I read this, thinking, Lord, I don't want to be ashamed. Give me boldness, like they pray in Acts. I need that, Lord. That's not my nature. You have to empower me by your Spirit that I would not be ashamed of you. I would be willing to share of what Christ has done in my life. People would see it, but they would also hear it out of my mouth and to testify of the good things that God has done. That's what I get challenged by when I read this. I'm sure you could take that many ways. I'm just sharing a few thoughts as I read this psalm. You, O Lord, will not withhold your compassion from me. Your loving kindness and your truth will continually preserve me. For evils beyond number have surrounded me. My iniquities have overtaken me so that I am not able to see. They are more numerous than the hairs of my head, and my heart has failed me. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. Make haste, O Lord, to help me. Let those be ashamed and humiliated. So, listen to what David is saying. To me, this is really interesting. He says, evils beyond number have surrounded me. Then he says, my iniquities have overtaken me so that I am not able to see. They are more numerous than the hairs of my head, and my heart has failed me. When I read this, the thought that comes to my mind, again, maybe you think something different, but I want to encourage you with this. When God allows that crucible, it says the crucible for silver and the furnace for gold, and the Lord tests the heart. So maybe the Lord allows tests in your life, and we have a chance by through those tests to see the dross in our life, to see the areas in our life that God desires to continue to change. That is sometimes the greatest test of faith for me. When you see, maybe you stumble, maybe you just see, Lord, there's still so much that needs to change. To me, this is one of the greatest tests of faith. And we can come back to some of the testimonies of faith like Joseph. So I want to encourage you, like when you allow a bit of despair, not to allow yourself to slide back to discouragement or unbelief. This is where we need to continue to build each other up. For me, the children are a great blessing. Children are also a wonderful test, right? To not get frustrated, to not become short with them, to be patient, to be kind. That's why, you know, the scripture says that, what does it say? A woman would be saved through childbearing, something like that, the verse says. It's, as a husband, I feel like I'm being saved through childbearing as well. But I work like 10 hours a day, a lot of days. So I slide into my office before they get up and I roll out of my office at dinner time. And in that 10 hours in between, my wife is dealing with what I struggle to deal with from 5:30 to 7:30 in the evening, 2 hours. And in that time, it's a window, a snapshot of how God needs to continue to change me. And how I need to continue to grow in patience and kindness towards my children. And I can find that discouraging. Lord, I desire to be more patient. I desire to be more kind, more long-suffering, more. So I want to encourage you, whether that's your trial, whether you have some other great trial, whatever it is, if you're seeing those areas in your life that God is desiring to continue to change, and it feels like maybe there's not the change coming that you would desire, I want to encourage you. The enemy is there, same as the enemy is there to discourage you when you're trying to spend time in the Word. The enemy is there to say, this, you're never going to change. It's been years. It's been years and you're still like this. Whatever the lie is, this is where our faith is so greatly tested. And this is why getting into His Word and allowing Him to encourage us and spending time together in fellowship so that we can build each other's faith and say, no, don't lose heart. Though it's been years, remember Joseph, who waited 22 years for a salvation, so to speak. And it was often a natural salvation. For Abraham, it was a natural child. For us, maybe we're looking for natural things that God to do, but oftentimes the work that we're looking for now is an inward work, to be made more like Christ. Don't lose heart. God is working. Be pleased, O Lord, and this can be your cry. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. Make haste, O Lord, to help me. Let those be ashamed and humiliated together who seek my life to destroy it. We don't battle against flesh and blood. The enemy, the devil, is the one who seeks to destroy it. And he seeks to destroy it by lying to you and putting lies and discouragement and despair, trying to put those thoughts in your mind. And so when he says this, we can relate directly to this, but it's not a natural person. We have an enemy, but that enemy has been defeated, and we can never lose sight of that. Let those be appalled because of their shame who say, aha, aha. Let all who seek you. I think it's important how he closes, and I'll end with this as the psalm ends. Let all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. Let those who love your salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified. He does say in the end again, since I am afflicted and needy, let the Lord be mindful of me. You are my help and my deliverer. Do not delay, O my God. He is pleading his case. David is pleading his case before the Lord. But he has not lost in his pleading of his case. He's not lost a heart of praising the Lord. And to me, there's such a weapon. There's such a power in being willing to just praise him, even in the midst of whatever circumstance, whatever trial, whatever shortcoming we see, that we would be those that would continue to praise the Lord. Anyway, hopefully there's a piece of that psalm that has encouraged you this morning, just to be reminded of all that God has done for us, and just meditate on that, of how Christ has saved you. And perhaps you're sitting here thinking, he has saved me. I'm thankful for what he's done. But I feel like I've got a mountain in front of me of things that I see in my life that I desire to see Christ work in. I just encourage you not to lose heart, but continue to trust in God. It is a test. Right? He says there, you know, with faith, we can say to this mountain, be cast into the sea, and it will be done. And it's true. But we also know that he says at other times, he says, when I come, will I find faith? He's looking to see, to test the depth of our faith and whether we continue to trust him. So I encourage you with that. Let's not lose heart.